Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Excellent, as Anthony said. I better say that was a great play. Yep, that was pretty good. It was excellent, as Anthony said. I better start because the time has started. So I'm doing pre the cross. So, you know, the lead up to the crucifixion. So before Jesus sacrificed his life, the rules were an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. However, when Jesus paid the ultimate price, we were granted forgiveness and grace from God for our sins. God forgives us for everything we do wrong now and gives us grace even though we are quite undeserving of it. So I've got a scripture from Luke 22, verse 31 to 34. And if you've probably all read the verse. It's basically a Passover message. And Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, "One of you in this room will betray me." And now we all know Simon Peter in the Bible. And, you know, he was like, "Oh, Lord, who could do such a thing? Who would do that? Like, you are the great and almighty. I'll go to prison with you and to the ends of the earth." And he says, "Look, Peter, you're going to deny me three times." And, you know, Peter was very proud. He didn't think it would be him. But we see in the verse that Jesus is talking about his crucifixion. And he's saying, you know, "This is my last supper. This is my body broken for you and my blood shed for you." And he tells the disciples, you know, he says, "People are going to ask you who I am." And he especially says this to Peter. He says, "People are going to ask you who I am. And you're not going to say I'm the Son of God." You know, and instead we've all read the story and we know what Peter said. We said, "I've never heard of the man. I don't know who you speak of." And the rooster crowed and that was it. Now at this part, you know, we don't see Jesus getting angry. He doesn't approach Peter saying, "What have you done?" or "I thought we were mates." You know, but instead he forgives him and he does what has to be done. I want to tell you a story about a good friend of mine who got offended at something that he thought I said that I didn't say, right? So this happened a couple of months ago. Now, this friend decided to take to heart what was said and hold a grudge. I hadn't spoken to this friend in 3 months. However, yesterday I saw him at the shops. And he came up and he apologized and forgave me for what he thought was said. As we talked, he told me about how God had been putting forgiveness on his heart. But his own stubbornness wouldn't allow him to come and see me and get rid of that grudge. He eventually did, and he feels so freer because of it. In the same way, Jesus had all right to not like Peter or many other people in the Bible, but he never held a grudge. In fact, Jesus loved the sinners. You know, we see he had dinner at the sinner's house. You know, he tells us that he who is without sin cast the first stone. In saying that, we all sin every day. And from a personal experience, I can tell you we all fall short of the glory of God. But that doesn't change the way he thinks about us. Jesus forgives us for everything we do wrong. He forgives us before we even ask for forgiveness, and he never holds a grudge. Jesus doesn't say, "Look, you know, you stole this," or, "You know, you murdered that person," even though those are commandments in the Old Testament. You know, Jesus doesn't say, "Oh, because you've done that, you know, that's it. You're no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter." You know, he loves us despite our dirt and despite what we do. And he's really trying to portray this in this story. You know, he was betrayed. Now, Jesus could have destroyed the guards and the Pharisees. You know, he's the ultimate. He could have just said, you know, "Get off me, push him away." And he could have won. He could have won the physical battle, but he didn't do that so that we could have life. He didn't do that because the sacrifice was greater. Now, we are called to live a life like Jesus. So if Jesus never held grudges and he always forgave those who wronged him, why don't we? If we're called to live the same as Jesus, why do we hold on to things? Why do we not just say, "You know what? Yes, you did wrong by me, but that's all right. I forgive you for that." If we're quick to forgive, life is a whole lot better. We need to take these principles and apply them in our everyday life. You know, it's hard. It's hard. I know what it's like. I've had times where people have done the wrong thing to me and I've said, no, you know what? Like, I don't want to be your mate. I don't want to associate with you. And who knows, God hammers you when you do that. He hits you right in the heart and he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? This person's still my son. This person's still my daughter. He's still your brother. He's still your sister. He shows you forgiveness in your heart. Today, as we continue with the next messages, just have a think about who or what you need to forgive in your everyday life. You know, it might be a family member. It might be a friend. It might be your work. It might be something that you think could never be fixed, but it can, and it can always be fixed through Jesus. And I'm happy to talk with anyone as well who's struggling with that sort of issue after the service. You know, so just have a think about that today. And don't let judgment and lies fill your heart. Instead, let God's grace fill your heart. That's it.
It's unfair. I didn't know we were getting timed. I've got 3:57. That's all I got, all right? Okay, so I'm going to preach about the cross, right? So, so it wasn't going to be easy, right? Jesus had to pay the penalty for our sin. And there were no shortcuts. You can't take a shortcut if you've got to do something like that, right? So, you know, it wasn't going to be quick, it wasn't going to be fast. He had to go through the whole ordeal. And he knew he had to go through that ordeal. But the interesting thing is what is the penalty for our sin? What is the penalty? I'll read from 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It says this, it says, these people, meaning those who decide not to choose Jesus, will pay the penalty and endure the punishment of everlasting destruction, banished from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And so what it's saying is, well, that's the penalty for sin. Banished from the presence of God and from the glory of his power. That's what it is. And so if that's the penalty for sin, that's what Jesus had to take upon himself. You see, he had to take being removed from God's presence, being alone, feeling anxiety, feeling depression, having evil, torment, horror placed upon him. Those worst feelings you've ever had, all dumped upon him to take the penalty for our sin. Wouldn't you say that's right? You know? And you can see this in the, it sort of starts in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, if from Luke 22:39, it says this, it says, and he came out and went, as was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. When he had arrived at the place called Gethsemane, he said to them, pray continually that you may not fall into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, Lord, remove this cup of divine wrath from me. Yet not my will, but always yours be done, Lord. And now an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, deeply distressed and anguished, almost to the point of death, he prayed more intently. And his sweat became like drops of blood, falling down to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray, that you may not fall into temptation. And so it's quite obvious that here in the garden, Jesus has experienced something pretty heavy. He's going through something right now. It's not so much about tomorrow that he's thinking about. And he says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup of divine wrath from me. Remove it from me. See, Jesus knew that he had to die. He knew that, you know, and so it's unlikely that he's saying, Lord, don't let me have to die. But rather he's saying this pressure of being out of your presence, this pressure of anxiety, of horror, of coldness, of darkness that I'm feeling, please, Lord, remove it from me. Take this away from me. You know, everything Jesus knew was God. He didn't know what being a Jesus is one with God, to be separate from God. That was horrible. That was horrible. And it says, and being in agony. So he's in agony. He's deeply distressed, almost to the point of death. Now, we've all been through hard times, but he's almost to the point of death. That's the weight. So it was everybody's sin, sin of mankind on his head, on his heart, weighing like a weight. You know, he's experiencing life without the love of God. It goes on to say his sweat became like drops of blood falling to the ground. You know, apparently under great stress, it's true that the small capillaries in your sweat glands, they can actually break down and mix with blood under great stress. And so he's under so much pressure that his sweat has blood in it. Like, that's what he's going through at the time, you know. And that's what we got to see on the cross. That's what was nailed to the cross. The loneliness, the separateness, separation, the anxiety, the mental pressure of life was nailed to the cross. And as a result, like you and I now, we never have to be alone. No matter what we go through, no matter what, how bad it is, you don't have to be alone. God is with you. Because Jesus took that. He took that so you didn't have to. And we know about the physical side, you know, the cross. So he was nailed. Crucifixion was an ancient Roman way of killing the worst criminals, the worst of the worst. They say you'd have to push up on your feet in order to take a breath, and you'd be left there in the hot sun. And so this is the other part of what Jesus had to go through, the humiliation, the being treated like an animal by people, going through absolute just being completely rejected, and all to some degree without the presence of God. And in the end, he says, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Because he's completely without God. He's feeling that pressure. And once again, as I said, the best thing about that is that we know now that whatever pain you're going through, just remember you're not alone. You know, only you can remove yourself from God. God won't go anywhere. You know, Romans 8:38 says this, for I'm convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. You know, a good example of it can be seen in Acts 7:58, where Stephen is stoned. So it says here, then when they drove him out of the city and began stoning him, and the witnesses placed their outer robes at the feet of a young man named Saul, they continued stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive and accept and welcome my spirit. Then falling on his knees in worship, he cried out loud, Lord, do not hold this sin against them and do not charge them. When he had said this, he fell asleep in death. So it's quite clear that Stephen's not alone in his death. He's facing death, but hey, he doesn't have to be alone. Because Jesus took that. He took that. So now Jesus could be with God. Stephen could be with God in the worst of worst times. So let's just... A good thing to remember is that whatever you go through, the penalty for sin is separation from God, and that's been taken away. So I'm a little bit short.
What I'd like us to do now is just reflect and pause for a moment and think about what's been spoken about by Josiah and also Tom. And I want to try and take you into the city of Jerusalem and think about this week. So about Tuesday night or Wednesday night of the week, Jesus was betrayed and he was tortured, as we know, over those next couple of days. And then, as Tom said, he was nailed to the cross on Good Friday. Friday, about 3 o'clock it was, exact time, darkness came over the land. Looking at the cross was his mum and Mary Magdalene and others, but also all the other disciples. They were looking upon him as he was nailed to the cross and tortured and died. Then came Sunday morning, James. we have just witnessed and seen a reenactment of the greatest event that will ever occur on this planet. The greatest event will ever occur on this planet we've just seen when Jesus rose from the dead. Because Jesus is risen from the dead, we rise from the dead. Because Jesus lives, we live. Amazing to see that reenactment and just highlight what it says. I just want to read some scripture to us. Jesus said when he went to the tomb for Lazarus, he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I have died with Christ. You have died with Christ. We have died with Christ. But though he lives, we live. Tom, you read that scripture which I was going to read. For I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God, our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Today is the most wonderful day that we can ever remember, remembering that Jesus rose from the grave, that Jesus is alive, that because Jesus lives, we live. And the beautiful part about this is, our family and friends that have died before us, they live and will be resurrected, the same as us. I get excited. I was 5 minutes ago, you're feeling sad. But now we can get excited. Now we can say, hallelujah, praise you, Lord. Thank you, God, that we live because he lives. And it's a wonderful thing to tell our friends that what we saw there, Jesus went through that for us. He was willing. He left heaven. He left the presence of his dad, his family, to come here to earth for us and to do what he did, to set us free, to bring us back into relationship with God, back into relationship with him. And we have relationship with each other through what Jesus did. So let us finish this morning and celebrate together and remember this is the best day on the planet, Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen from the dead. Amen? Amen. Is there anybody this morning that would like prayer?
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.